Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and Alexa actually decided to come back and join us. She hasn't abandoned us. Woohoo. Alexa's here. Episode 11, predictions and power rankings. We're down to the final seven, and we have the do-or-die twist coming back. Can Lightning Thing can save you from the do-or-die twist, as we found out last season? So, Alexa, how you feeling about that? How'd you feel about last episode, which you did not witness, and Hi went home?
You went home?
Hi went home.
Oh, Hi went home. Yeah, I thought you said I went home. And I was like, is that Mike went home? Because I don't think Mike went home.
No.
Yeah, I liked last episode. My eyes rolled out of my face as soon as Jeff was like, with a twist, talking about this coming week. I redid my power rankings like five different times. A Canadian $10 super sticker. Thank you, Troy Locker. That's
Tori.
Much Tori Locker, Troy. I'm slightly dyslexic. Thank you. Totally appreciate that.
He's just pumped because we're going to get two Canadian winners back to back, and it's just shaping up that way because both Canadians are still left. It is
really, really shaping up like that. Yeah, I rewrote my power rankings like four different times. I want to be clear. That started at 4:52, so just four times over the course of 8 minutes. It's getting really tight. The do or die twist, like there's no rhyme or reason as to who's going to get it and also who gets it if they actually go home or not. But also, like, Marianne's got an idol. Like, Drea still has a ton. Mike still has an idol. There's still these amulets. Like, there's not a lot of space and there's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is also just throwing me off a little bit in terms of who is actually safe versus who is not.
Yeah, I mean, this to me kind of feels like their way of offsetting how many twists are left, because by having the do or die twist, you are making it so that somebody is totally out of control of their game no matter what they did beforehand. Now, obviously, I think it's dumb, but like Drea could go home this week with all the stuff she has, just because if she goes out first, there's nothing she can do to save herself. Mm-hmm. So I just think, like, yeah, there's a lot left and it's a lot for us to try to dissect, but at the same time, like, this to me feels like the everything is going too well, so we could just blow it up on that person and there's nothing they can do. And I think people need to be really, really ready for this. And in the future, you're being rewarded to do nothing. Like, don't do this challenge if you have that choice, because if you have any type of immunity idol or something, just take your chance with that. Don't put yourself at risk in any way, especially with how random these Survivor challenges have been this year and how hard they've been, because these have been really tough. And I'm sure this will be similar to what last year's one was, which means it won't be on water. But these water ones have been brutal this season. And you just stand in the wrong spot and a swell comes in, you're done. Yeah. Why put yourself at risk if you don't have to?
100%. And I think what's different is, obviously, this is 50-50. So if no one goes home twice, then I hope Survivor says, okay, this just didn't work and we ditch it. But what I'm more concerned about is, I speak for myself here and probably a lot of others, this is such a good final seven. It's very likable. Everyone is likable for different reasons, different types of people, like different types of players. There's no one that's like super boring or horrible. And so I fear that no matter who gets do or died, it's going to be bad. And like, there's someone like Lindsay who just had her coming out last week. That's going to be really shitty. And then if it's someone like Jonathan, Drea, Mike, that's terrible. Like, oh, like literally anyone on this list is horrible if they go home this way, just because of the different and like interesting and exciting games that they've all played.
Yeah, I really hope that this is the last time we see this. I doubt it will be, but like as a one-off here or there, like whatever. I almost think that this would be better like in the pre-merge when things are a little bit more chaotic and things really don't matter as much. Yeah. And maybe you like give it to somebody like you're on the losing tribe, but instead of having this the shot in the dark, you could have a do or die advantage where you could use it to be safe. But if you get it wrong, you automatically go home, and you can like use that once per game or something. Now, I get it with the Monty Hall problem and all that. That suddenly makes it a 67% chance, which I still don't buy. I still think that's bullshit, but I get where that's coming from. The biggest problem I'm seeing for this week is that last time Deshaun was safe and he went against the odds you're supposed to go with. Does that make sense? Like everybody said with the Monty Hall problem, which as I said, still doesn't make any sense to me and I don't care. you're supposed to switch boxes because that suddenly gives you a 67% chance. Deshaun didn't switch boxes and got a had a 33% chance, and he was safe. So he got the 1-3 last time. To me, I just feel like whoever does this, their odds aren't as high as Deshaun's were. I know that it's irrespective and all that, but it's the same thing with gambling, right? If you sit down at a roulette wheel and it comes out black 7 times in a row, odds are you can play red the next time. It's just not going to keep coming out black, even though there's nothing that is really saying that shouldn't happen. Yesterday, I think all 3 of the early hockey games went over. The one that everybody expected to go over, which is the Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings, that one goes under because the odds that all 4 playoff games on that day that go over are not high. That's not how these things work. And so for me, I just worry that whoever this is going to be the one who goes home. I'm throwing out advantages this week, and I am ranking this in the order of who I think is actually most likely to participate in this challenge. And if they participate in it, be the first one out. That is how I'm ranking this because I think the do or die person is in a lot of trouble. However, if they're not, I'll still play it safe by throwing like a Romeo or something at least halfway in. I won't put him necessarily at the top just because, you know, he could ultimately not play. The person who does the do or die is safe, and then Romeo goes home anyway. So, but that's how I'm thinking about it this week. I don't know what your perspective is.
I'm doing like a little bit of that. I'm trying to just, maybe this is me shoving my head into the sand. I'm sort of just doing it as I would have expected. I'm also putting a little bit of edit into play because I don't really know what else to. So I guess I'll start. I mean, number one, I have Marianne. She has an idol, and I wholeheartedly believe she's actually not going to tell anyone about this. This feels like the Davy thing, and I hope that she loves to hear that I'm comparing her to Davy. I think at this stage in the game, an idol that no one knows about is incredibly, incredibly powerful. I also think, I'll use a little bit of your logic here, she might not participate in this challenge. Like, if I am anyone and I see a challenge and if I lose, I have a do or die chance, and I'm also looking at someone who is built like Jonathan, I will probably not do this challenge. I am curious if Jeff is going to, I forget how much Jeff told
them.
I wonder,
it out for them last time.
He did spell it out for them? Okay.
He pretty much. He didn't say you had a 2/3 chance, whatever. He just said you're going to play a game of luck, a game of chance.
Okay. He'll probably keep it the same. I wonder if he says like what the game of chance is. But for that reason, I have Marianne at number one. And even when they're doing the strategizing, because like pre-tribal, I don't think she's going to go. I think the Romeos and the Omars are going to get exposed.
So I have Marianne at number one as well. I think there's a 0% chance she is going to participate in this challenge, and she has an idol. So I don't think she participates because she knows she's safe. And if her name comes up at all, she's going to play this idol that nobody knows she has. Nobody's going to be worried about flushing an idol on Marianne because everybody already watched Marianne play an idol. So they know that one's out. They don't know if there's another one really hidden. They don't really know what's going on. So I think Marianne, 0% chance she participates. She's going to be safe. Also, really like her chances now moving forward, because if she doesn't end up getting anything thrown at her, right? Like if she doesn't end up getting any votes and doesn't have to play her idol, she's in final 6 with an idol, with a fire making challenge coming up. I think she's got a good shot to get to the end now if she gets through this episode. I like her at 1. My number 2 is Omer. And my reason I have Omer there, I don't think he's participating in this challenge either. Mm-hmm. And I think that he has just had his finger on the pulse of everything so much that I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of him this week on the episode where there's a do or die. Because everybody's going to be so focused on that do or die that they're going to be having a hard time strategizing. And if they do try to strategize, I think that they're going to look for an Omer and say, hey, what do we do? And I think he's going to be in more of the answering that question role rather than being on the receiving end of people saying, maybe we get rid of Omer. So that's why I have Omer at number 2. Don't think he's going to participate in this challenge. He's too smart. He knows what he's good at. He knows what he's not. He knows that challenges aren't his thing. He's probably not going to win an immunity challenge on this season. Why go out there and put yourself at risk? Because realistically, let's say 4 people participate. Now you have a 1-4 chance of going home more than you have a 1-4 chance of winning the challenge, because you're going to be in there against people who have better odds to win this challenge than you do. That means that you have a better chance of going home. Really, he could be looking at a 1-3 or a 50-50 chance of going home. based on who participates, which I think are going to be the Jonathans, the Dreas, things like that. But we'll talk about that when we get there. So I have Omer at two.
And a retroactive comment about Omer, which I'm sure every single person has already said, but it is so amazing how he is able to plant these lies and have no one fact check him on it. I probably, and this is in no way a knock on him, I think we are seeing someone like master the 26-day season with this, because without 3 days, you know, if there's 3 days that maybe Mike and High talk and the way that they didn't this week. But Omer is insane. He is absolutely killing it. Separately, I have Dre at number two, which by your logic, I feel like you'll have her a lot lower. She is running out of time to use all these advantages. She could steal Mike's idol. She obviously doesn't know about Marion's. She, and also now with her extra vote and now shared steal a vote with Lindsay, now we're at the final seven. Like, those votes actually can count for something, especially if something's going to be split down the middle. And I think she, what was the challenge last time? I completely forget what it was. Depending on it, I feel like she might not be the first person to fall out of it.
I don't think she's been, I don't think she's been the first person out of anything.
Yeah. And she's pretty built. Like, she's not Jonathan level challenge beast, but obviously, like, as a personal trainer, she's going to be athletic. She has done really well in challenges so far. So I don't think she would be the first person to fall. But I'm also, it totally depends on what the challenge is.
Well, here's my biggest concern with Drea. What if her and Jonathan are the only two to actually participate? Now, she can beat Jonathan. There's no doubt about it. But Jonathan, in my estimation, is participating no matter what. I don't know what the challenge is going to be. I'm not necessarily saying that it's going to be a strength-based thing. But Jonathan has been good at every challenge. He's only won one immunity, but he has been good at all of them. Even the ones that should not favor a guy who's gigantic like he is. Like we saw last week's, that was the it was the balance, the thing on the bow, which I kicked your ass at the family. And because you were wearing wedges and I was wearing sneakers like a normal human. And so that was the one. And but they were on the balance beam as well. And Jonathan made it all the way to the end with his gigantic feet, played it really, really well, and still managed to get to be the second person left. I get he didn't win, but he's been good at everything. If it's one-on-one, mano-a-mano, how is that going to go? That worries me a little bit for Drea this week, which is why I do have her a little bit lower. Tori Locker brings up a good point. Mike is old school. He won't sit out. However, Mike is old school, but Mike's not dumb. I think Mike has gotten a little bit of a dodo edit at certain points this season. I think we saw it last week when Omer ran circles around him. But I think Mike also realizes he's 57 years old. What's he going to go out there?
He's 100 years old.
For? Yeah,
he's
97, as he said on Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's, yeah. And was it in the final seven last time or the final eight?
It was the final seven, I believe, wasn't it?
Finals, if gun to my head, we had to keep this challenge, I would do it like in the final nine. Final seven is just like, I feel like you won't get a lot of participants if, depending on like how the season shakes out, but the hell do I know? I wouldn't have even done it.
I wouldn't participate. This is, I'm saying this right now. I would zero times out of a million, unless I was literally the last person left and I was definitely going home. That's the only time that I would ever participate in this challenge. If I had even the slightest path to find my way with an alliance of anybody, no way I ever participate in this challenge. No way.
Yeah. I have Romeo at number three. I don't think he would participate in this. I think he knows his limits. I think he knows he's on the bottom, especially considering that he was the only person who voted with High last week. But I think he also poses absolutely zero threat to anybody at this point. So if he has immunity or not, I don't think everyone's going to be like, oh my God, Romeo must go. I think his threat level has plummeted. And I think this week that will really benefit him.
You really missed an opportunity to say Romeo must die. You really blew that election. Come on.
Not my forte.
Come on. I have Romeo at four.
Okay.
Speaking of forte, I have Romeo there. Damn. I have Mike at three. Here's my reasoning for these. I'll talk about Romeo first and I'll go back to Mike. But the reason I put Romeo in my back half, I do not see him participating in this challenge. I think he's going to think he has an avenue. However, if he doesn't, I think it's kind of foolish on his point because he could easily go home. Now, I'm not going to say it's foolish one way or the other, because maybe you do play the odds here and you say, hey, I need an avenue. I'm not good at challenges, which Romeo is not good at challenges. He's not good at challenges, goes out there, says, you know what? Hopefully the do or die person loses. I survive this week. I'm in the final six. Who cares? If, though, the do or die person survives, he's the target. I mean, it just seems so obvious he's the target. Where my mind is going on this is either Jonathan or Drea is winning, and then Jonathan, Drea, or Lindsay, as that's why they're my bottom three, is going to be the person who loses the do or die or has to do the do or die. Mm-hmm. Romeo, I do not see doing the do or die. I do not see him winning immunity. But I do see Romeo being the boot if the person survives the do or die. That's why he's my number four. Mike, I get he's old school. I understand. Mike is so close to the end. He is playing such a good social game. He knows he's not as good at challenges as everybody else out there. He knows Jonathan is going to participate in this challenge. He's close with Jonathan. Why the heck would he do this? It makes no sense. He feels like he's in too good of a spot. I do not see any chance that Mike goes out there and competes in this challenge, which is why he's my number three. So my top three are three people I do not see participating in this challenge. My number four is somebody who might maybe want to participate in this challenge, but if he doesn't, could still go home. My bottom three are the three people I think are going to compete in this challenge.
Okay. So you still think there's no chance that Mike's going to participate?
I don't think any way he participates in this challenge.
Interesting. I have Omer at number four. I can't tell if he's going to do it or not, but I think people are going to have to start figuring him out. I think it would be really weird if he were to go home this week after just like crushing it for the past month. So that's why he's smack dab in the middle for me. I think he can very well still just spin everyone around and vote out who he feels like. But I think whether or not he participates, well, let's say he participates or he loses and is not the first one out, he is still not going to be the person that they talk about. They're always, assuming Jonathan loses, they're always going to talk about Jonathan. They could talk about Romeo. They could talk about Mike and Drea because they know about their advantages. I think Omer's still fine, but I have him in the middle just because there can't be much wiggle room left for him.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Look, Omer, we're getting down to it at this point, right? Like I said this on the podcast with Vaughn, and I know I could get a lot of crap for it, but I'm going to reiterate it. I really think that Omer, since probably season 20, since the, you know, after Heroes Villains, I think he has the best brain for Survivor we have seen in that time. Tony's played. I know Jeremy's played. I know all these people have played. But Omer, to me, doesn't need to play this era of Survivor. He could have played the old school era of Survivor. He's not going with kind of a gimmicky type strategy. If you think about Jeremy's strategy, it was a gimmicky strategy. That's why it worked one out of three times, because it was the meat shield strategy and it worked once out of three times. Omer's not going with a gimmicky strategy. However, we're at the point now where he's got to dodge mines. It's going to be hard to do. If Omer goes home, that doesn't change my statement. I'm not saying he's the best player since the 20s. He's not even close. However, he has the best mind for this game, and he is playing it so well. I agree with you, though. How much longer can he hide when he has nothing in his hands? And Tommy did it only three seasons ago. That's crazy. But three seasons ago, Tommy won Survivor with no advantages. But that was a different type of Survivor. Omer is in this type of Survivor. We are seeing people do a do or die challenge to potentially go home. How do you survive the landmines when you have nothing, no matter how good you are at Survivor? I think he's really good. But I do agree that he's running out of area. I just don't see this being his week.
Yeah. And I think also we always talk about like, what's the best quality to have on Survivor? He is somebody who, I read his preseason and I was like, this guy is so full of crap. Nobody comes out there and says they're going to manipulate everyone and then actually do it. He is the only person I feel like I've read his preseason and talks a big game about himself and actually totally capitalizes on it.
Yes.
So that's, I call that self-awareness, call that confidence, call that like being clutch. He is doing what so many people want to do and is actually totally killing it.
He's killing it. He really is. He is playing the game he wants to play, and I think he's got some of the best adaptability we've ever seen. He just knows he can work with whoever. He's blending in. He's a chameleon on this season. Mm-hmm. It's got to bite him at some point, but maybe it won't. Who knows?
Maybe it won't. Are you at – what number are you at?
I'm going to do my five. Like I said, Jonathan, Drea, Lindsay. I think these are our three people who are going to participate. I think the other four are going to sit out with the potential of Romeo participating. I think Romeo ultimately knows he's not going to win the challenge, knows there's a good likelihood he could be the first person out, and says, screw it, I'm going to take my chances and then hope I can make something happen. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Out of those three, Jonathan is the clear favorite, which is why I have Jonathan at number five. I think that it's tailor-made final seven, do or die, people sit out. This is tailor-made for somebody like Jonathan to excel, win an immunity, kind of get a cheap one. It is a cheap one. Like, let's be real. Get this cheap immunity and get out of there. That's what I think is going to happen. I have Jonathan at five, though, because he is going to participate, which gives him at least a 1 in 7 chance of being the first person out. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a lot smaller than that. I think it's probably closer to a 1 in 3 chance of being the first person out. And not for nothing, Dre and Lindsay are no pushovers. So I have Jonathan at my number five, and yeah, that's it. That's where I got him.
Yeah. I have Jonathan at five too. Also, I think he very well could win this, but to your point, depending on what kind of challenge it is, I have Mike participating, Lindsay, anyone else who participates, they very well could win too. He hasn't won every single individual immunity. But like the reason I have him lower is because if he does not win and he isn't the first one out, his name is still going to be floating around. And kind of the same thing with Omar, there just is not much space left for somebody who is this good in challenges. It is amazing that he has gotten this far, considering that he's only won one individual immunity. One.
He's only won one. Yeah.
That's insane.
It is. And he won it at the thing where it was split 5-5. So he's had to survive the bigger tribal councils, where not for nothing, in the bigger tribal councils, that's where more chaos can happen, because there's more numbers to pull in whoever you can pull in.
Totally.
I think Jonathan's doing an excellent job of surviving. I don't know how he's doing playing the game of Survivor, but he's doing an excellent job of finding a way to survive, which is something that somebody like Joe Anglim never could do. Joe Anglim never figured out how to continue to advance in the game. Jonathan is doing that, but how is he at Survivor? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I saw just like one bit from High's exit press, and he was like, going to be honest, as soon as Jonathan did that monkey run, I was ready to give him $1 million. Like,
yeah, there you go. That's all like it takes.
You know, that's it. But yeah, I think Jonathan's threat level has plummeted since the monkey run, but he is surviving.
I agree. And you know what? I just don't see him winning. So it is what it is.
We're here for it.
So now I'm gonna be a pain in the ass here, and I'm gonna go full edit. I have Drea at six, Lindsay at seven.
Yeah.
And my reason for this. My reason for this is Drea, number six, excellent player right now. I think Drea, honestly, if it wasn't do or die and she wasn't so freaking competitive, I would have Drea at number one the rest of the season. Seriously. Like, she has every advantage. She's playing great. Here's my biggest concern for Drea. I know it's not to the extreme, but we always go back to this because Bradley's such a nice guy. A-plus Survivor. Right? A-plus Survivor, A-plus Survivor, A-plus Survivor. Cut them off as soon as you could. Right now, Drea, every confessional this season has talked about how she is there to play. Mm-hmm. She is there to play. Take the risk. She's there to play. Well, now I think she's going to take one risk too many. She's going all in over and over and over and over again. And I think she's going to take one risk too many. However, I still think Lindsay has gotten such a piss poor edit this season, which has picked up considerably in the last 2 weeks. That's for sure. But I think that the way Lindsay has been playing, or the way Lindsay has been edited, and the way Drea has been playing, that's why they're my bottom two. I see, though, Lindsay going home if the do or die does eventually cause somebody to go home, which I do think the do or die is going to cause somebody to go home, which is why I have Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not Lindsay, what's funny is if it's not Lindsay who goes home because of the do or die, I think it's probably Drea with the next best chance. However, then all of a sudden I think Romeo should be my number six. So it's like I am just completely going all in on the fact that I think the do or die is going to send somebody home, which is why I have this power ranking. Mm-hmm. If I was actually doing this based on, oh, well, if Lindsay doesn't go home because of the do or die, then who would be the next person to go home? I think it would be Romeo in a standard vote out.
Yeah.
But I think the do or die is going to make its appearance this week and ruin somebody's game. And I worry, though, that that's either why we haven't seen as much of Lindsay, or it's going to be the downfall of Drea, which is why we haven't gotten a lot of family, emotional type content from Drea like we have with Marianne and with Mike and with Omer. Yeah, like we've gotten so much of that with them. Drea feels like a game bot to me. I love Drea. I am just concerned, does she play? Does she just, she should have just sat out and she doesn't. That's my biggest concern with her. And the whole edit has been telling us that she won't sit out. I'm still putting Lindsay at seven because Lindsay, with everything she's gotten so far this season, just makes sense to go home this week.
Yeah, that's a good point. Drea and Lindsay are the two people, I'm saying this now, that have not gotten any like tug your heartstrings kind of content. And unfortunately, I hate that this is now how it's based. As soon as Hi got that last week, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is terrible. I go Mike and then Lindsay. You just made a really compelling argument for Drea going home. I think she, because like she's always doing the thing, like you should do the thing. And this has, it has benefited her every single time because, dare I say, taking a risk and doing the thing on Survivor usually is a good thing. But so with that, how does she say, no, this isn't for me? Maybe she knows she friggin' guessed the merge situation. But I still think it's Lindsay who goes home because of the edit. And I think between like Drea and Lindsay, and let's throw Jonathan in there, I feel like Lindsay is probably the one who would lose, even though I think you put Lindsay with any other combination of people and she's probably like the one who wins a challenge. It's just three incredibly strong people who are really good at these challenges. So yeah, I really think it's Lindsay. I think she's unfortunately like dead in the water after having an awesome episode last week.
And then who does that put you? That puts Mike at your six.
Yeah, that puts Mike at six. My thought is I think he will participate. I think he's like, I think he's a little old school, but I also think he is a competitor. And I think he might be looking around and saying, okay, I started off with Hi and Lydia. They are now both gone. Who is he super in with? Like he's in with Jonathan. I think he's in with Omer, but everyone's in with Omer. I feel like he's suddenly a little alone, but I don't really know if he knows that. So I think that he'll participate. If he doesn't participate, or if he loses and isn't the first one out, Drea could take his idol. And I also think that, you know, he pitched the guys thing and I think Omer was one of the people who like didn't love it. That could set off a red flag to Omer. I just think all of a sudden Mike doesn't really have number ones anymore, which just makes me nervous for him, but I honestly think he's fine.
I agree. And the thing that with Mike too, is he has an idol. So let's say he doesn't participate. Drea would have to steal his idol with the knowledge right. power. Do we see Drea doing that this week? I don't think she needs to this week. With the do or die going on, I don't think she's going to have to. Yeah. Now, with the do or die, though, that person immediately becomes safe, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Here's the other thing. Out of my bottom two, whoever survives that, they get an idol next week automatically. If I'm correct and one of them goes home. Then they get an idol automatically next week. And I think they can only use it till final six. That would be huge.
Oh, so final six is not a final five idol?
I think it's final six. I could be wrong, but I think it's final six.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and that also could turn Lindsay and Drea against each other. It caused them to work together this week or last week. And maybe this will make them gun for the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hope so because
it's going to be so funny when it's Romeo goes home because the do or die doesn't do anything and whoever gets it is safe and like, it's just whatever.
I know. And we just spent the past 30 minutes talking about the one thing that actually could happen.
I know. Right. Like,
but I can't believe we're at the final seven. I cannot believe there are only three episodes left. I'm really bummed because I love this season so much and I really don't want it to end.
Yeah. That has been like the universal praise right now. This season has been universally praised. Like people love this season. I know Vaughn was on here and he was very into it. He likes all the characters. Like we had a good conversation about all this. And I will say Survivor's ratings have been good this season compared to 41. In terms of like more people were watching per episode at some point, which is crazy. Me and Alexa are much more into it this season, which is making it a lot less miserable. And yeah, I'm pumped. We got three episodes left and anything can happen. And I think that's what's great about this season. I keep comparing it to it, but it is such a Gabon type feel. Like it really is. Or we're at the point in Token Chance right now where JT is about to pull away. And we don't know if it's going to be JT or Steven, but the two of them are about to pull away. Maybe that's Omer and Mike. Maybe that's Omer and Marianne. Who knows? But I feel like we're at one of these turning points here where either we're going to get like a Token Chance or a Gabon where somebody's going to start to separate themselves. But this has been a chaotic season, a very chaotic season. And it's been great.
It's been so much fun. I deeply hope that nothing happens with the Do or Die. But then also, like, kind of sadistically, I hope Adrea or a Jonathan goes home because of it, and that traumatizes producers for getting rid of a challenge beast and someone who has every single idol, and that they never do it again. I deeply hope
that we all hope for, right? That's what we're all hoping for. So
really gunning for it, which is so sad, but really excited. We'll be back right after the episode Eastern time on Wednesday. I will be back. Become a patron. Phil was a huge MVP and did our retrospective because he and I both forgot, but Phil was more available to pre-record something.
And now McKenna is doing a whole bunch of stuff. She's literally doing a series. I think with random patrons throughout called Random Survivor Player. And she, like, there's a bunch coming out. I have them all scheduled out. She's just talking like 20-minute podcasts about like random player. Like,
which honestly, I think McKenna was born to do.
Tammy Leitner is number two.
I saw an email come through about the challenge. McKenna's just putting out so much content for patrons. We've been saying this forever, but you will get so much more from our patron than you actually will from our YouTube. So become a $20 patron today. We have Q&As. We have retrospectives that we'll actually do. We have a Facebook group. Join them all. Follow us on all forms of social media, and we'll be back right after the episode on Wednesday.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Ass Ketchup.